knowing that when I returned, I was going to yell at you for not grabbing the oil? He looked smug. Sounds about right. I love you, I whispered fervently. Dude, you are the best person ever. Oh, I know. Okay, well, calm down there, Captain Ego. Rein it back in. Let's not go too far here. But you just said... I know what I said, and now I'm telling you to calm the fuck down. Mood ruined. Funny that. Your penis says otherwise. Oh my gods. It's saying, oh, I'm so hard, I can't wait to go up Sam's butt. He put his hand over my mouth. I licked his palm. It had been a long while since I found myself in such a position. When one is in the middle of the dark woods, surrounded by dragons and getting slammed with magic, one doesn't find a whole lot of time to finger oneself. And, if I was being honest, I couldn't remember if I'd ever jerked it in the forest. So, being worked open, stung. And I breathed through my nose, slow and steady. Ryan muttering soft praise as he worked me open further. I cracked open an eye to look at him, only to find him staring down at his own finger. It was something akin to awe as he thrust into me, like even the simple action was enough to take his breath away. He was a knight, a warrior, hardened in battle and able to deal death if called upon to do so. But Ryan Foxhart was also a sap. Paint a picture, at a last longer. I teased him. You're an idiot. I've never claimed otherwise. You know if... And that's a second finger. Fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Do you want me to stop? I glared up at him. If you do, I'm going to murder everything about you. He rolled his eyes. So romantic. Dude, your hand is in my asshole. I don't know about you, but that's not really romantic. It's two fingers, not my hand. God, Sam. You're acting like I'm fisting you. I groaned, pushing down against his fingers as he crooked them up. We'll work up to that some other time. Now you need to fuck me. His eyes were wide. What the hell do you mean we'll work up to fisting? I am not going to put my fist up your... I was talking about fisting you, I snapped at him. He swallowed with an audible click. Yeah, sure. Okay, right, that would be, Enough, 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 enough. I put my foot flat against his chest, pushing him away from me. I winced as his finger slid loose, but I ignored it. He looked down at me in surprise, but before he could react, there was a pulse of magic, and we flipped places. Ryan on his back on the bed. Me sitting atop him. His eyes bulged. Did you just... Yes, I grunted. I magicked you under me because you were moving too fucking slow. I reached behind me, running my palm along the crack of my ass, slicking up my hand before I grabbed his dick and stroked it. The cords in his neck stood out as he tilted his head back, throat exposed and taut. I thought you said magic in bed wasn't... I'm a goddamn wizard now. I'll do it when I want. Oh my gods, he muttered. That should not be as hot as it is. What the hell is wrong with me? And it did hurt when I raised myself up, lined his cock up with my ass, and sank down slowly. Ryan Foxhart was not without his faults, but the size of his dick was not one of them. And while I didn't bottom very often, it would have been such a waste not letting him fuck me every now and then. By the time I was flush against his hips, we were both panting, my hands curling into his chest hair. His knees were bent, and his feet were flat against the bed as I rose and began to lower myself again. He gripped my hips and pushed up, knocking the breath from my chest. He watched me closely as he did it again and again and again, my dick slapping against his stomach, the sound obscene and wet. Come on, I muttered. Harder. Fuck me harder. He groaned as he pushed back up into me harshly, almost knocking me off his lap in the process, his thick thighs quivering underneath me. Any pain I felt was long gone, and it felt as if I was floating. It was different, though, than it had been in the dark woods. Then I'd be immersed in a dense fog for days on end, the voices of dragons and Morgan whispering in my ear. Here there were fingers digging into my hips, hard enough that I wondered if they'd leave bruises, and I was stuffed full, mouth open, and a soundless moan. Ryan sat up quickly then, legs going off the edge of the bed, feet on the floor. He wrapped his arms around me, my legs on either side of him. He mouthed at my throat as he fucked me deeply. My name on his lips, my cock rubbing against the skin of his stomach. I tilted my head until my forehead pressed against his, and he reached between us, his hands still sticky with oil, as he circled my cock. He jerked me off quickly, the practiced twist of his wrist causing me to gasp. I came between us a moment later, spunk on his chest and chin. He bit my shoulder brutally, blunt teeth sinking into my skin as he tensed, hip stuttering, a low whine crawling from his throat. We stayed like that for a time, breathing and breathing, sticky and sated. Finally, I managed to say, "Dude, we win at everything." He only hugged me harder. Later, after we stripped the bed and cleaned ourselves up, twilight was beginning to set in. Torches lit around the camp, their light coming in through an open window. I was hungry, but I wanted sleep more. The idea of moving my head from Ryan's chest was too difficult to comprehend, especially with his hand tracing small circles on my bare back. Neither of us had spoken for a while, content with only the sounds of the camp coming through the window. Randall said he didn't expect Kevin back until the next day, and even though he wouldn't tell me who the dragon would return with, I hadn't had the strength to argue with him. Ryan broke the silence first.
"What they said?"
"In the barn. Mama. Randall." I'd been on the verge of dozing, and it took me a moment to parse through his words. "They said a lot of things. About you being a weapon. About using you." "Oh, that. I didn't like it." I kissed his chest. "Glad you got my back." He huffed out of breath. "I'm being serious." "I know, but they had a point." "No, they didn't. You're not something to be used." "Well, you just used me pretty damn well, so..." "Sam..." I sighed. "Look, I get it. Okay. Okay? I do. I really, really do. You know better than anyone how much I hate this whole thing. Having all of this put on me. I mean, dude, have you seen me? Who in their right mind would put the fate of Varenya in my hands? Right? Rude. But also true. I'm not mad at them for saying what they did, because you can't help how you feel, and I can't say if our roles were reversed that I wouldn't have thought the same thing they did.
How close was it?
What?
At Morgan's funeral, how close were you to bringing him back?
I closed my eyes. I hadn't told anyone about that, but of course he knew. It was close, I admitted. More than I care to think about. I was hurting and scared and... I don't know. I didn't know where Randall was. I didn't know where Mirren was. I didn't know if you were going to wake up. The king proclaimed I was to be his wizard, and I had this voice in my head, a stupid fucking voice that kept saying,
"Come away with me, O human child, in the forest deep, in the dark of the wild."
And I told myself that I had to do what was right. And that it wasn't going to be what I wanted to do.
"You're stronger than you give yourself credit for."
I shook my head. If it had been you there on that slab, I don't know if I could have stopped myself.
"Sam..."
"No, you don't get to take that away from me. Everyone expects me to save them because that's what they were told I was going to do. that I'm this good person, that I'm this light. But if it had been you instead of Morgan, I don't know if I would have cared. I would have burned the life out of them. If only it meant you could take another breath. I don't believe that. I don't know if I need you to. What happened to you? And the forest? I ran a finger along the jut of his hip bone. You ever wake from a dream? And it's so clear that you're sure you'll remember it forever, but then you go about your day, and it fades slowly and surely until you can only remember bits and pieces. And even then, you're not sure if you're remembering it correctly. Like that? A lot of it. But what I can remember is Kevin hitting on me, Leslie mothering him, and Pat getting annoyed. Zero complaining about everything, and GW wishing we could all go away and leave him alone. So, pretty much normal then, right? Our lives are so weird, man. Was it worth it? I don't know yet, but we'll find out soon enough. One way or another. I love you. You know? I smiled against his chest. I know. I love you too, dude. I felt more than heard his laugh. His chest rumbling against my ear. I'm not mad anymore. No? Nah. The sex was that good, huh? Oh my gods. Seriously, I legit just fucked the anger out of you. Wow, I'm amazing. Sam, he groaned. I'll keep that in mind for the future if I ever make you mad again. Just fuck it all away. Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. When he burst out into bright, beautiful laughter, as I bit the skin of his chest, I promised myself that I was going to do what was necessary to make sure I heard that sound for the rest of my life. He was on the verge of sleep when he mumbled, "Can't believe you'd do that for me." "Do what?" I asked, blinking slowly. "Be mortal. Grow old with me. I can't." "Wait, Sam. It's gonna be good. I promise. You won't regret it." And then he was snoring. And later, before I followed him into sleep, I looked out the window and saw the shimmer of stars in the sky. And I made a wish. "Please, please, please let me have this. Let me have these moments for as long as I can." I closed my eyes. For the first time in a long time, I didn't dream. Chapter 15, Randall and the Great White.
"Shh! You shh! I'll have you know, kitten, that I'm as quiet as a mouse when I want to be. I didn't need my horn for that. But now that I have it, they won't even hear me coming."
"Everyone hear you coming."
"Did you just make a sex joke?"
"Tiggy funny."
"I don't know that I've ever been more proud of anyone in my life." "Bravo, my good giant. Bravo."
"Shh. Oh, please."
"Like they're even remotely conscious. It's not as if..." "Oh, my God. Do you smell that? Do you smell that? It's like the aftermath of a gangbang of a group of particularly pungent pygmies." "Oh, what were they doing in here?"
"My delicious face eating Sam's flower."
"More like his entire garden. I mean, I'm all for the butt sex, as you very well know, but this is just... meaty. Like, it's one of those smells that you can taste, you know? I can actually taste their coupling."
Unable to ignore them anymore, I opened my eyes. Gary and Toogie stood on my bedside, staring down at me.
"Hi!"
Diggy said, hunched over so his head wouldn't hit the ceiling.
Oh, look,
Gary said.
He woke all on his own. How fortuitous.
He leaned forward and put a snout against my cheek, squishing it in.
I can taste your sex,
he whispered. I shoved his face off me. What the hell is wrong with the both of you?
What's wrong with us? Well, where should I begin? How about that I just had to walk into your stink den of love? How about that, Sam?
It's not that bad.
Sam, I've done things to people that you couldn't even begin to imagine. It has never smelled like this after. I was pent up.
Gross.
I groaned, turning my back to them and curling into Ryan's side again. Maybe if I ignored them, they'd go away.
Sam? 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 What? That's better. Don't turn your back on me again, or I'll stab you. In case you can't remember because you've got your brains literally fucked out of your head. I have my horn again, and I can follow up on threats now.
I sighed, scrubbing a hand over my face.
I remember. Good. To make up for your rudeness, I will accept a compliment now about it.
It looks nice.
That was weak. Try again. It looks very nice.
Thank you, Gary said, smiling widely.
It does, doesn't it? I only got 3 hours of sleep last night, and while I could say it's because unicorns don't need that much sleep when they have their horns, that would be a lie. I spent most of the night staring at myself in the mirror, gazing upon the magnificence that is myself.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
As it shouldn't. Do you want to touch it?
No, I'm pretty sure I got my fill of it yesterday. Remember yesterday, when it shot its rainbow load all over me?
Come on, Sam, just touch it. Just a little bit. Just the tip.
Tiggy touched the tip,
Tiggy said.
Yes, you did. And with such a firm grip, too.
Why are you here?
I moaned.
Randall sent us to fetch you. Kevin's back. With guests.
I opened my eyes again. Why did you say it like that?
I didn't say it like anything.
Yes, you did. You said it in that way you do when you know something I don't, and there's a 68% chance that I'm not going to like it.
God, Sam, do you hear yourself? What would Ryan think if he knew you were so obsessed over me?
I'd be fine with that, Ryan mumbled. If it meant all of you would go away and let me sleep.
Hi, night, delicious face.
Hi, Tiggy. I'm not going to like today, am I?
Probably not,
Gary said gleefully.
Now get up so I can bear witness to your reaction when you see who Kevin's brought with him. I mean, so you can get up and greet this beautiful new day. Love you. Love you, boo. Love you so much. Love you!
He gave me a slobbering kiss on my neck before he pranced out of the room, sparkles trailing after him, smelling strangely of peppermint, hot cocoa, and good feelings. Tiggy?
Who's here?
Bye, Sam! Bye! Bye, Sam!
I muttered as he ran out of the room.
Kevin's back.
Ryan asked, voice thick. Of course you were awake the whole time and didn't do a thing to rescue me.
I hoped if I ignored you, you'd leave me alone.
I adored him. We were dressed and out into the early morning sunlight 10 minutes later. I was shoving bread in my mouth, not caring how unattractive I looked. I was ravenous, and if I was going to be forced from my bed in an ungodly hour, I would stuff my face with stale bread. It was my right as a human being. The camp was already awake and moving around us, people still openly staring at me as we walked by them. Ryan close at my side, his sword in its scabbard at his hip. He had planned on training with his knights this morning, but I could tell curiosity about who Kevin had returned with had gotten the better of him. Speaking of the devil, I could see Kevin's head and wings sticking up over the wall outside of Camp Halfheart. So we headed in the direction of the front gates.
How much do you wager I'm not going to like this?
I asked Ryan.
Yeah, I'm not going to take that bet.
Randall said whoever it was is supposed to help us, right? I'm still not convinced he's forgiven you for the dick-nose thing. For all we know, this is him finally getting revenge. And if that's the case, you need to think of the worst possible person that Randall would get to come and help you.
Lady Tina is already here.
Ryan rolled his eyes.
Fine.
The one after that. Velma? And she's probably in her room, trying to read tea leaves so she can all be doom and gloom.
Okay, the person after that.
I squinted at him. Who would be third on my list of people I don't like
that are still mostly on my side and that Randall would want to have come here to help me.
No, I said, glaring at Randall. Absolutely not.
He didn't look impressed.
So you said, for the last 5 minutes.
Then maybe I should repeat myself again, because you don't seem to be doing anything about it. No, Randall, no.
No offense, but I'm kind of with Sam on this one.
Thank you, Ryan.
Only because Sam agreed to marry him before I kicked him in the face and we escaped, Gary whispered.
This is true.
Ryan agreed.
Damn it!
The 6-inch naked man with wings fluttering before us stroked his pencil-thin mustache.
I'm not yet convinced that Sam still doesn't want to get all up on this,
the King of the Darkwoods fairies said, eyeing me up and down, which, since he had tiny eyes, took a lot longer than one might expect. I don't, I assured Dimitri. I don't want to get all up on that.
Whatever helps you sleep at night, Sam. I didn't say anything when I was leading you out of the Darkwoods, because I knew how exhausted you were. But I've got to say, magic looks good on you.
Thank you.
And so would my face.
Fuck you. What do you mean when he led you out of the woods? Ryan asked. I waved my hand dismissively. Dimitri found Kevin and me when we were on our way back from our Darkwoods adventure. You didn't say anything about that before.
It was our little secret. Sam and I have those, you know.
The rest of his fairy court hummed appreciatively behind me. I saw the fairy Harry, who tried to gay fairy marry Dimitri and me, and waved. He didn't wave back. Probably still upset about the whole kicking him in the face thing, too.
What other secrets do you have with Dimitri?
Ryan demanded.
Did he touch you?
Show me where he touched you. Dude, chill. He didn't touch me. This time.
What are you all doing out here? Oh no.
We turned to see Justin standing near the gate, staring directly at Dimitri.
My prince.
Dimitri all but purred.
How lovely it is to see you again. Come to discuss more diplomatic relations.
Wow. That sounded dirty. How does he do that?
Kevin, dear?
Gary said as he pranced to the dragon.
Yes, my love.
I notice that you are paying more attention to a tiny fairy man when I have my horn back, and you have yet to compliment me about it. That's unfortunate. For you.
I did earlier.
Gary narrowed his eyes.
And I believe we discussed that you would offer me a compliment every hour until I deemed otherwise, and then I would give you the one muffin you've never gotten to have.
The buttery herb cheese muffin.
Kevin breathed. Do I know that one? Ryan asked.
Do I want to know that one?
Probably not. It's the one where I whispered the rest in his ear, because saying the words any louder would do my soul to hell.
Why? Why? Why?
Ryan moaned when I finished.
Why? Why? Why is that even a thing? How would you even gather it all to put it in there?
I have my ways,
Gary said simply, as if he weren't the most disgusting creature alive.
Without your horn, you are radiant.
Kevin purred.
With it, your beauty is unparalleled. I want to worship you all over.
That'll do for now, Gary said as Kevin licked his neck. I feel the buttery herbs already.
I think I'm gonna be sick,
Ryan said as he started to gag.
I don't want to know, Justin said. King Dimitri, 'tis an honor to see you again.
He bowed low, one arm folded behind his back.
Though I must admit that you aren't the guest I would have expected.
He glanced at Randall, looking slightly irritated.
Perhaps an explanation is in order so that I may report back to my father.
I would be happy to provide you with one,
Dimitri said, wings flapping furiously.
Should we retire to your extremely private quarters? And have Sam come as well?
Not gonna happen, dude, I said, rubbing Ryan's back as his head was between his knees.
Pity that. The dragon did inform me of the king's rescue. I was pleased to hear that he was once again safe and relatively healthy.
He's with a doctor now, getting a full physical. Complaining about it, of course, but I won't take any chances. Mirren had him captive for 6 months. He said nothing untoward happened during that time, but still. Doesn't hurt to be smart about it.
Indeed. Though I must admit to being confused myself as to why we've been summoned.
He turned and flew in front of Randall. He crossed his tiny arms across his tiny chest And if it hadn't been for his dick flopping all over the place and the fact that he had just tried to have a threesome with me and Justin, I would have cooed at him for being so little.
Randall, care to explain? I told you before that we fairies do not get involved in the fights of men.
Randall snorted.
And yet you meddle incessantly. Little hints here, twisting of an arm there. Curious how you not being involved looks like the exact opposite.
Careful, wizard.
Dimitri warned, as his eyes narrowed.
Sam has the dragons.
Dimitri glanced at me for a long moment before looking back at Randall.
I am aware.
And that includes the Great White.
I am aware of that, too.
Our parting was unfortunate.
Dimitri laughed derisively.
Is that how you wish to put it? Certainly a revisionist take on things.
And for perhaps the first time since I'd known him, Randall looked flustered. It was astonishing to see him fumble for his words.
Yes, well, it's, you see, there were extenuating circumstances that required a different...
You forsook your mentor for love,
Dimitri said, not unkindly.
You loved another. He wouldn't have it. And you made your choice. And even though you couldn't speak directly, not with words, you both knew the consequences. I played mediator for you then. I won't do it now.
You were with them when he mentored Randall? I demanded. Why the hell am I only finding this out now? Randall was grinding his teeth, a vein throbbing in his forehead.
It didn't matter before.
Dimitri eyed me curiously.
You know we're the keepers of the forest.
He capitalized that,
Tiki whispered to Gary.
It true now. And the Great White is of the Dark Woods,
Randall said begrudgingly.
The fairies have always had a symbiotic relationship with him. He created, and the fairies made it blossom.
Not unlike your Zero,
Dimitri said.
But on a much larger scale.
Dimitri sounded far too smug for my liking. Dude, how old are you? And you wanted to marry me? That is an age gap I'm not comfortable with.
I'm still virile,
he said, as his minions tittered angrily behind him.
I can give you a demonstration, if you'd like.
I will punch you in your tiny face, Ryan growled. He is a king, Justin hissed at him. Maybe don't try and piss him off.
Sam is going to summon the dragons,
Randall said above all the noise. And everyone fell silent. I turned slowly to him. I'm sorry. I'm going to what now? Randall didn't look pleased. It didn't make me feel any better.
You're going to summon the dragons. It's time we meet with them face to face.
The skin under his left eye twitched.
All of them, together.
That's why you've called for me,
Dimitri said, sounding accusatory.
You wish to parlay with the Great White, and you want me to be the go-between?
Girl,
Gary breathed.
Drama.
Now that we have Sam here, the Great White and I will be able to have words. Now expect there to be many of them. It is better if the fairies mediate any meeting, given our history.
I don't see why I have to be here for this. I don't want to see the oldest things I know fighting with each other. Randall's eyebrows did a complicated dance.
You will be here, he said through gritted teeth, because the dragons belong to you as much as you belong to them.
You hear that?
Kevin whispered.
I own you.
I ignored him in favor of staring at Randall. Why now?
Because we're running out of time. Mirren won't allow the rescue of the king to go unpunished. I fear that the fall of Old Clearing is just the beginning.
He glanced at Dimitri before looking back at me.
And as you said yourself, Zero will shortly need to sleep the next century away. We can no longer dally. The end is coming, Sam, one way or another.
Drama queen, I muttered. So you want me to bring four other dragons here, one of whom is basically the size of a small mountain, who also happens to hold a grudge because you chose your supervillain Boo over him, so you can have a tiny naked man with wings play mediator and we can try to figure out how to save Varenya from the clutches of evil? I could tell it cost him greatly to agree with me, but he said,
Yes, Sam.
I shrugged. Okay. He blinked.
What?
I said okay.
I really expected more pushback.
Nah. I want to see how awkward it's going to be when you two meet again after all this time.
You're such a bitch,
Carrie said proudly.
I taught him that. We need to warn the camp, so that people don't freak out when dragons suddenly descend upon us.
I do it,
Tiggy said.
Don't scare people, Justin warned him. We don't need to cause panic.
Tiggy looked offended.
I won't.
Then he turned and began running toward the gates, hands flying above his head as he bellowed,
Dragons coming! Don't be scared! Dragons are coming, but they no eat you!
He tries so hard, I told Justin, who just sighed. Ryan had pulled his sword out and was staring at his reflection in the blade, running a hand through his hair. What are you doing?
I didn't expect to be meeting dragons, he said.
I need to look presentable. Oh, my gods. I have sex hair. Sex hair, Sam. I am literally about to meet the Great White for the first time, and he's going to be able to tell that you seduced me.
Seduced you?
Hey, in case you forgot, you were the one that jumped me because you got a boner every time I do magic.
How uncouth,
Dimitri said, as the fairies buzzed behind him. I snorted.
You legit have no room to talk about kinks, dude. Your whole existence is essentially a kink. One of these days, you're going to start a war just by talking, Justin told me.
Your hair looks fine, I told Ryan, knocking his hand away before he made it worse. I mean, no offense, but GW isn't going to care what your hair looks like.
GW,
Dimitri asked.
Do you dare insult him by not referring to him as you should? He is a dragon.
Sam is a disrespectful little shit,
Kevin said.
Lord Dragon, they call me. The beast from the east. But does Sam ever refer to me like that? No, of course not. It's always Kevin this, or Kevin that, or Kevin, please put your tongue up my butt so far that you can taste what I had for dinner.
Kevin, what the hell?
See?
Kevin told Dimitri.
No respect.
Like I would sleep with Kevin, I said to Ryan. It was only a year. Besides, you saw how tight I was last night. If Kevin had really stuck his tongue up my ass, you would have been able to stick your whole face in there when you did it to me last night.
Sam!
Ryan hissed. Everyone can hear you.
Wow. Gary said. I need to go masturbate. I mean, I need to go jerk off right now. Oops. That was the same thing. Shit.
I've been thinking about you.
Dimitri said, flying up in front of Justin's face.
About unifying our two kingdoms? What do you say, my prince? Do you want to be unified with me?
What an offer. I need to take time to think about it.
Of course.
I've taken enough time. I must respectfully decline your offer.
Suddenly the sky blackened with clouds and lightning flashed. Randall thundered,
Enough!
We all stopped talking. The sun came out again as the clouds dissipated.
Huh.
That storm front came out of nowhere, perfectly timed with you being angry and... Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it. Related. Randall's eyes were blazing.
You need to take this seriously.
Yeah, you guys,
I said, glaring at the others. Be serious. Sam, Ryan whispered.
He's looking at you?
That's because he's silently asking for me to be his backup while he chews the rest of you out for acting ridiculous.
How are you still alive?
Dimitri asked me. Sheer force of will? I said cheerfully. Anyway, Randall thinks you all suck and you guys should shut up because we're trying to be for real right now. Okay? I smiled at Randall. Go ahead. I've got you, dude. You don't need to... Are you okay? Like, your face is really red. Are you feeling ill? Are you dying?
Man, talk about terrible timing.
You can't die yet. We have some villain ass to kick before your body can collapse in on itself since you are so old.
Dragons coming! Don't be scared! They no eat!
Tiggy skidded to a halt next to Gary.
Done and done. I fast.
Gary hoof fist bumped him. Randall looked up toward the heavens. We all turned our heads skyward too.
What are we looking at?
Gary whispered.
I have no idea.
I whispered back. That cloud over there looks like a dick.
Huh! The sky has a dick.
We looked down when Randall did. He seemed like he was feeling a little better. His face wasn't as red. I winked at him, just to let him know I totally got what he was doing.
Sam,
he said, voice oddly flat.
Summon them.
I sighed. Oh. I was hoping you'd forgotten about that. Do I really have to?
Yes.
Fine, you all might want to take a step back.
This could get a little sticky. Why the hell would it get sticky?
I heard Justin say before I took a deep breath and closed my eyes.
They were always there. These low pulses of light. These threads that had attached themselves to the electrical impulses of my brain, curling down my spine until they circled my lightning-struck heart.
Kevin's was the strongest. Yes, we'd all just spent a year practically in each other's minds, but Kevin's was different. He fit with us here. After him was Zero Raven Moonfire, the teenage emo snake dragon monster thing who acted like he had crows in his soul, but only ever wanted someone to love as he grew his trees and his flowers. Zero's pulse and thread were as red as his scales, burning under a desert sun. Then came the blue pulses, the fluttering of feathers. Pat and Leslie, the mated snow dragons who had once chased Randall and me off the edge of a cliff as their way of seeing if I was worthy of their time. The last thread was the brightest, not because of our connection, but because he was the oldest living thing in the known world, and he was made of magic. The Great White was a dragon, but he was different. Kevin was a conduit, helping direct my magic. Pat and Leslie were dreamwalkers. Zero could grow his forests. That was their magic, their gifts.
The Great White held us all together. The Great White who had imbued me with magic that should have taken decades for me to learn. The Great White was the unifier. The reason I felt them all in my head and heart to begin with. I'd learned in the woods that my link to the Great White was the reason my eyes had gone black for Kevin, red for Zero, and blue for Pat and Leslie. He was the reason I'd heard them in my head in the desert, in the northern mountains. He'd been aware of our connection. Of me. Of everything. The whole time. From the first vision when Vedoma had appeared in Castle Lox and pressed me up against a wall, to the second time when he told me I wasn't ready. He'd known. How much he knew was still a mystery. I didn't know if he could see the future. I didn't know if he was actually a god. The world had supposedly been built on his back. I didn't know if that was true. But not for lack of trying. I'd asked all these questions. I had usually been ignored.
Now, though, now.
He wasn't ignoring me. I wondered if he'd been waiting for this moment. The pulses were bright, and the lightning scars on my chest burned.
Come,
I said to those lights.
I'm already here,
the black one said, because he was an asshole. I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, right. You can still ask me to come, if you want.
Gross. Stop it.
Heh. I'm funny.
Finally, the red one said. This has taken forever, and I'm bored and starting to get sleepy, and Pat and Leslie won't let me go make friends with skunks even though they are the only ones who understand me.
That's because they smell bad, dear,
one of the blue lights said.
Why, Pat ate one once, and I wouldn't let her kiss me for a year afterward.
That's not something they need to know,
the other blue light said, rather gruffly.
So lame,
the red light muttered.
Hey, baby bro,
the black light said.
Try sheep. They scream when you chase them. It's hysterical. Also, Gary got his horn back.
Oh,
a blue light said.
How lovely for him. I bet you're both thrilled.
It's about damn time,
the other blue light said.
See? I told you she was a softie. A bull-like exterior, but nothing but fluff on the inside.
We are coming.
The white pulse said, and the others fell silent. I sighed and opened my eyes. The haze of green and gold felt thick around me. I glanced back up at Kevin, whose eyes were completely black as he watched me. He was rumbling happily deep in his chest, tendrils of smoke curling from his nostrils. It hadn't been so long since we'd seen the others, but there was a sense of relief at the idea of us all being together again, regardless of how GW frayed my nerves.
Though to be fair, I did the same to him. "They're coming," I said.
"I felt that," Ryan said, sounding awed.
"You did? Like, each of them individually? Could you hear what they were saying?" He shook his head slowly.
"No, I didn't hear anything. It was more like a feeling. And here."
He tapped the side of his head.
"I think it was more from you than anything."
Dimitri fluttered about in front of him, eyeing Ryan curiously.
"Cornerstones."
He looked at Randall.
"Their bond is strong, especially for one so young."
"Their history goes back further than even I knew. And I've learned to never set expectations for them. Usually they end up defying them one way or another."
"Was that a compliment?" Ryan whispered to me.
"Yes, no, maybe."
"Thanks for clearing that up."
From the woods came a great roar.
"Here we go," I muttered. "Whatever you do, don't run." Zero appeared first, bursting from the tree line into the sunlight, muscular body twisting and kicking up dust as he slithered toward us. I had to remind myself to take my own advice and not run screaming at the sight of a gigantic snake dragon monster thing hurtling at me, because Zero was sensitive to how he looked. The bony hood around his face was flat against his head, and I knew he was showing off when he snapped at the air, fangs large and quite frightening.
"Holy shit,"
Justin breathed, and I realized that he'd never seen Zero before. He hadn't been in the desert. "That's... I think I just shit myself."
"How princely of you,"
Gary said dryly. Zero slowed as he got closer, and I could feel a low pulse of uncertainty, like he was shy, of all things. So I stepped forward and grinned at him.
"Hey, dude."
"Sam,"
Zero said, body coiling underneath him as he came to a stop a few feet away.
"Hi."
His serpentine eyes darted to the pupil behind me, and he swallowed thickly before he looked down at me again.
"That took you forever."
I rolled my eyes. "Only been a few days."
"Yeah, but you left me with old people," he scowled. "That was so dumb. And the forest smelled weird, and I hated it. And then Pat and Leslie wouldn't let me go very far, even though I'm 14 years old, and that's practically an adult. I can make my own decisions."
"Oh, boy."
"Hey, little bro,"
Kevin said, coming to stand next to me.
"How goes it?"
"My life is so hard. Everything is dark and dank like the fetid recesses of my mind."
"Yeah. But so... you. Come look at Gary's horn."
He leaned forward and lowered his voice, even though everyone could clearly still hear him.
"Make sure you tell him how nice it looks, because if you don't, he might not let me have the buttery herb cheese muffin later."
"What's a buttery herb cheese muffin?"
"You keep your depravity to yourself," I warned Kevin. "Zero doesn't need to be corrupted."
"Hey, I can take it."
"So can Gary. That's why we have a bakery to begin with."
Two feathered dragons walked regally from the trees, their heads held high, their hardened feathers sparkling like ice in the sunlight. Pat's eyes were narrowed, taking in every little thing around them, assessing for conceivable threats against her mate. Leslie was smiling at me, and I couldn't help but grin back at her. She'd been kind to me in the dark woods, and had spoken up more than once against GW when she thought I'd had enough for the day.
"Sam,"
Pat said as I bowed low to them. I didn't have to do it, but I could see she was pleased at the action.
"Oh, look at all of you,"
Leslie tittered.
"Like a band of merry heroes gathered together, so brave with your little faces. Kevin, come here and bring your young man so that I may gaze upon him. I hear that his horn is rather long, and if I weren't a lesbian, I would surely be a size queen. Dimitri, you are looking fit.
Pat,
Dimitri said, nodding.
Leslie.
Tiny speck of dust,
Pat said, and I adored her. And then the sun was blocked out. I sighed as I looked at Randall. Don't make this weird. Everyone turned their faces skyward, excluding Randall. He had that grumpy look that he sometimes got when, say, for example, his old mentor happened to be flying around overhead.
I have no idea what you mean.
Yes, you do. You're going to be all stiff and snarly, and he's going to be all growly and reticent. Then the walls will come crumbling down, and you both cry and hug each other. And then you'll tell him you love him, and he'll say the same. And then you guys can go do old people stuff, like going for dinner at 3 p.m, or play chess in the park. And yes, I realize we don't have a park right now, but you get what I mean. And then you'll sit around and complain about the youth of today, not knowing how good they have it, and how back in your day you had to work to get anything you wanted. Not like the kids who get everything handed to them.
That's not going to happen.
Tell that to Eduardo and Morley.
I'm going to regret asking this, but who are Eduardo and Morley?
Two elderly side characters in the seminal novel The Butler and the Manticore, which I never want to read again. Randall looked like he didn't know whether to strangle me or walk away. I was used to that from him.
Why is he just circling overhead?
Justin asked, sounding reverential. He's showing off, I explained. He's a dragon, it's what they do.
Hey!
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 Four dragons snapped at me. I waited.
Okay, that might be true.
I like it when people look at me,
Leslie said, preening her feathers.
I have big teeth,
Zero slurred as his fangs dropped.
We are dragons. Everyone should be in awe of us.
I hate dragons, I muttered. The Great White landed in an empty field next to Camp Half-Heart. If he wanted to, it would take only a couple of swipes, and the camp would be reduced to rubble, its inhabitants buried. I wondered if the Darks all the way in the City of Locks could see him towering over the camp. I hoped they could, and were starting to panic. He lowered his great head toward us, and I could hear people in Camp Half-Heart oohing and aahing over him. The other dragons were deferential. Ryan looked like he was fighting the urge to draw his sword again. Justin's eyes were wide and unblinking. Gary had little rainbows shooting from the tip of his horn, for reasons I didn't want to think of. Dimitri and his fairies were buzzing brightly, and Tiggy was waving frantically up at the biggest dragon in the world. I said, GW! Glad you could join us. Thanks for the flyover. At least 3 people were impressed. I wasn't one of them. Everyone turned slowly to look at me, agape. Randall said,
You've aged rather poorly. I'm not surprised.
Everyone turned slowly to look at him, mouths opening still wider, even me. The Great White rumbled, eyes shifting to Randall.
You can understand me, yes?
Yes,
Randall said.
Good. You were a terrible apprentice.
You were a terrible mentor,
Randall retorted.
Drama,
Gary whispered.
Yes.
Is that so?
GW asked.
Quite.
Your human emotions became your undoing.
Not all of us are born without a soul.
Randall sniffed delicately.
Or rather one as black as the inside of a troll cave.
Oh my god, I whispered fervently. They're being growly and reticent. They're Eduardo and Morley. I knew it. Break down and cry so you can be old in the park. GW glanced in my direction.
What's he mumbling about now?
Randall waved a hand dismissively at me.
If you ignore him, eventually he either gets distracted by something shiny or starts having relations with the night.
rude. But also, pretty much true.
I wish I'd known that before I accepted him as my apprentice.
GW said, gigantic head shifting.
I am ancient. A century is but a drop in the ocean for me. That being said, the last year was the longest of my life.
Aww, I said. GW blinked slowly.
What?
Randall rolled his eyes.
He chose to take that as a compliment.
That's not how that works.
It is in Sam's mind.
I'm a handful, I said. Right, Ryan? I jabbed him in the stomach with my elbow. Right, I'm a handful. Get it? Yeah, you get it. He was sweating profusely.
Ryan.
The Great White growled.
The Night Commander. Is this who stands before me?
Ryan said.
I mean, yes, sir, Lord Dragon. Sir, Great White Master, Your Excellency.
He gets weird sometimes, I said, frowning at Ryan. I don't get weird, Ryan snapped out of the side of his mouth, gaze still trained on GW.
A cornerstone.
GW scoffed derisively.
The waste.
Oh, man. You shouldn't have said that. You're so dead, and you don't even know it yet. Ryan, stab him in the eye and show him no one talks about me cornerstone that way. I can't stab him, Ryan said frantically. He's the Great White. You most certainly can stab him.
He did such a wonderful job with your apprentice, Randall said to GW. Really? You must be so proud.
He came to me like this. So any fault rests firmly on those who held his stewardship before me. Like you, for one.
You're lucky my hip aches today. Otherwise I'd have half a mind to give you the business end of my business.
Your hip?
GW snorted.
I'm surprised you're even still standing, with how brittle your bones must be.
I noticed your left hand is curling in. You favored it while landing. Arthritis is such an awful thing. I'm glad you have it.
Defend my honor, I demanded. You defend your honor. You're the one who can do magic. I just have a sword. Yeah, but you always brag about how big it is. Do you have any understanding just how large that dragon is? Say something. He hates cornerstones. You're a cornerstone. Ergo, he hates you. You need to show him how wrong he is and how cool you are. Yes, please, Gary said gleefully. Ryan, do show the biggest dragon in the world just how cool you are.
But I thought Night Delicious Face not cool,
Tiggy whispered. Oh, he's not, Gary whispered back. I just want to see what happens.
I'll defend your honor,
Dimitri said, fluttering up around my face. His little penis was eye level, and I couldn't not stare at it. I think you mean something entirely different than what I'm asking for, I told him.
Probably. Still, shall I?
You shall not.
Old people are the worst, Zero moaned. Gods, why can't there be someone normal here? I pretty normal.
Tiggy told him.
I have brooms.
I feel like I need to be doing something with my horn, Gary said to. No one in particular. Does anyone require any assistance involving my horn?
I could use a good buggering,
Kevin said.
They grow up so fast,
Leslie said fondly.
Good. Then maybe we can leave and go home and never have to deal with any of them ever again.
I regret everything about you.
GW growled at Randall.
My heart breaks at such a thought,
Randall snapped back.
Enough!
We all turned to the source of the angry voice. Grand Prince Justin of Varenya stood tall, glaring at all of us, arms across his chest. A breeze blew over him at that moment. making his clothes billow slightly, his dreamy curls bouncing on his head. He looked kingly as hell, and I was at once jealous of how amazing it was and proud that he was my best friend forever. "You look really good," I told him, in case he didn't know. "Like, dude, I'm thinking about breaking up with Ryan and wooing..." "Oh my gods, I'm kidding. Ryan, put your sword away. Justin, stop gagging."
"I'm watching you,"
Ryan warned Justin. Justin rolled his eyes. "I should hope so. That's your job."
"Oh, right. Well, carry on then."
Justin looked as if he wanted to punch something.
"As delightful as all of this is."
"I don't think that he means that at all,"
Gary whispered to Tiki.
"We didn't gather here for more of your shenanigans. Whatever grievances you may have, it is time to put them aside. Or at the very least, hold them until we've saved Varenya."
"Grievances,"
GW rumbled, cocking his exceptionally large head.
"You reduce the betrayal by an apprentice to a grievance. Who do you think you are, human?"
Any normal person would have been shitting themselves. Justin was not a normal person. He squared his shoulders and narrowed his eyes.
"I'm the king in waiting. I'm the prince of Varenya. I shall have your respect if you hope to ever have mine."
"Holy shit,"
Gary breathed.
"Did anyone else just get a power boner?"
Kevin raised his hand. "So did Dimitri. I was going to, but Ryan was glaring at me." Inexplicably, Leslie also raised her hand. I felt it better not to ask. Justin ignored them, eyes only on GW.
"This is bigger than you, than myself, than any of us. Our very way of life is threatened. Mirren will not stop until he controls all he sees. This is my country. These are my people. He is taken from me, from all of us. And I will see to it that he is paid for his crimes against Varenya. I don't care about apprentices or cornerstones or whatever has brought us to this moment. The time for blame has passed. We're made up of our histories, but we control our futures. Sam is my wizard. He's been chosen by the gods to bring about the end of the man in shadows, and I will stand by him. I expect you to do the same. Sam, get that look off your face. Now is not the time for hugging."
"But
no! I just..."
"No!"
I sighed. The Great White stared down at Justin for a moment. That stretched a beat too long. There was a second or two where I was sure GW was just going to eat Justin, but he snorted instead.
"You must have a heart of steel to speak to me in such a way."
"I've found that there's a time and place for diplomacy. This is not it. I will be blunt, as is required of someone in my position."
"You cannot wipe away the sins of the past."
"True," Justin agreed. "But when all the world depends upon you, I would hope you could at least overlook them for now."
GW's lip curled.
"And you say you will be king?"
"Yes."
"I can see that. You are impressive."
"Wow. I'm so glad you've known him for all of 5 minutes and come to the conclusion when I've known you for a year, and the nicest thing you've ever said to me was that at least I was more adept at magic than a rotting corpse."
"You're my apprentice. I'm not supposed to be nice to you."
"He's been coddled far too much."
"I notice. Rather soft, isn't he?"
"Like dough."
"Well," I said, clapping my hands, "as fun as this is. And really, I just love how the two of you have seemingly already forgotten a centuries-long feud so that you could pile on me. So wonderful, thank you. I think we should move on and do what Justin said. Focus on the big picture and kick some ass." And, okay, I really don't remember what Justin said because I was distracted by how kingly he was being.
"Oh, ancient one,"
Dimitri said, flying up in front of GW's face.
"Forgive us for this mockery. These humans know not who they speak to. You are the light of the world, the reason for which we all draw breath. Why, your very heartbeats are the pulse of the earth beneath our feet. Your breath, The wind through the trees. The-
Dimitri.
Yes, Ancient One.
Stop it.
Yes, Ancient One.
GW turned back to Randall.
Why now?
Randall arched a tremendous eyebrow at him.
Because we're running out of time. We have rescued our king. Mirren has seen Sam with his own eyes. It will not be long before he descends.
Can he be saved?
Randall appeared startled at the question.
What?
Mirren. Can he be brought back from the shadows?
Randall stared up at him.
Even if there was a way, why would you care?
You think me cold-hearted?
I think you obstinate and unsympathetic and capable of seeing anything outside of the way as you view the world.
But...
Randall's shoulders sagged.
I never thought you cold. You cared about me in your own way.
You loved him.
I did.
He was your cornerstone.
He was.
And he turned from you.
Yes.
And yet, you survived. Even after the King of Sorrows. Even after your... experience in Castle Frisius. Somehow, you survived. Tell me, Randall. How is it possible?
You knew about...
You were my apprentice. Of course I knew. How did you do it? How did you find your way into the light?
Morgan.
Is that all?
Oh... I remembered what I'd been taught.
GW looked taken aback.
Truly.
Yes.
Can the same be done for Mirren?
Randall hesitated. Then...
No.
The Great White nodded slowly.
Then why? Is that...
Because of the corruption in his heart. The darkness that lurks beneath his skin. I became what I did because of the extent of my grief. Mirren did the same, but of his own volition. It was power he sought, and nothing more.
Randall glanced at me, and a chill ran down my spine.
And to do what he did to Morgan it, to consume another's magic is the darkest of all the arts. He took something that did not belong to him. How it must have fractured his soul. So no, I believe there's no coming back from that. He has made his choice.
And you have made yours.
Yes. They gonna hug?
Tiggy whispered to Gary. They better, Gary whispered back. You can't just be old and decrepit and talk about bad things in your past and forgive each other without hugging afterward. I taught him well. GW looked around at each of us in turn. Kevin and Zero and Pat and Leslie. Gary and Tiggy. Dimitri and his fairies. Ryan. Justin. Me.
He reminds me of you.
He told Randall.
Stubborn, indignant, mouthy. He speaks before he thinks, and is more likely to ignore my orders than actually follow them.
I would have objected, but that was pretty much all true.
He once turned my nose into a phallus,
Randall said, sounding resigned.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. But still, even with all his faults, his heart is resilient. being struck, and made stronger because of it. I've never met someone quite like him before.
Confounding, isn't he?
Extraordinarily so. Do you think he's capable?
Yes.
You believe in him?
Yes.
Why?
Because for all his bravado, for all the sass and the sarcasm, he is still the greatest wizard I've ever known. He's the better part of all of us, and I am humbled to be in his presence.
I couldn't find my voice.
The Great White chuckled.
Maybe the gods chose wisely after all.
Surprising, isn't it?
You've called us here.
I did.
Do you have a plan?
Randall
began to smile. I overheard something not meant for me. I should have kept walking, but I was rooted in place.
I'm proud of you,
the king said to his son, just inside the gates of Camp Halfheart.
What?
Justin asked.
I didn't... What you said about Varenya and its people.
Justin sighed.
I was just trying to get them to focus.
Were you?
Yes.
The king laughed.
Even when you were a child, you had that same grumpy look on your face when you were caught showing your heart. I always found it to be the most endearing thing.
Dad, I'm not
a king, puts all others before himself. He does all he can for the weak and the weary, the poor and the hungry. He is kind to those who deserve it. He is firm with those who do not. He defends the crown with all his might.
I know. You've told me many times.
I suppose I have. A king also inspires. Have I told you that?
No, I don't know that you have.
Well, he inspires because, without hope, all is lost. Hope is a light in the dark. Something that can lead us home.
You are a light, my son.
I know that one day you will make a wonderful king. I'm proud of the man you've become.
Dad,
let an old man have his words.
You're not that old.
Very kind of you.
You're going to be around for a long time.
I hope so.
Silence. Then,
how do you know?
What?
That I'll be a good king.
Because a good king inspires.
And you inspire me.
I left them alone after that. Chapter 16. The Grimoires 3. Magic, I've learned, is a gift, capable of the greatest of triumphs. Or, in the wrong hands, the darkest of desires. I could do things that most others could only dream about. I was 17 years old when I brought a bird back to life. For the longest time, I never told anyone about it. I sucked the life from the earth and the trees and pushed it into that little bird, causing its lungs to expand, its heart to thrum. The ground had been scorched beneath my feet,